Okay, so I will start by opening up the Richmond Fund for Children and Youth Oversight Board meeting of Monday, March 1st of 2021 at 6:05 a.m.
Well, Chair, you're muted.
Okay, I think my agenda just went down, so let me pull it back up. I'm so sorry.
It's on the screen now.
Okay, it's on the screen. Okay, so could I have a roll call?
Yes, I will now call roll call. When I call your name, you can state here or present. Board Member Alvarado?
Here.
Present. Board Member Castro Curry?
Present.
Present. Board Member Dandy Evans? Absent. And we did have a few board members who were hopping on from the previous one, so I'll also note when they enter as well. Co-Chair Yana?
Present.
Present. Board Member Galloway? Absent. Board Member Hextrom?
Present.
Present. Board Member?
I'm sorry, cut out. Was it James?
Yes.
Yeah, present.
Present. Co-Chair Johnson?
Present.
Present. Board Member Jones? Absent. Board Member Lee? Absent. Board Member Lobos?
Present.
Present. Board Member Cader?
Present.
Present. And Board Member Cicada?
Present.
Present. And with that, we have a majority of the Oversight Board, so this constitutes an official meeting of the Oversight Board.
Thank you, David. So now we'll move on to agenda item C, report from agenda review and modifications. Do we have any modifications to the agenda? No. Okay, so then we'll move on to item C, report for the director.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Co-Chair Yana. So welcome everyone again to the Oversight Board for the Richmond Fund for Children and Youth. Thank you for coming out tonight. A few quick announcements. I'm really excited to welcome our two new board members to the team. We have two youth board members, and I will ask them to, you know, wave when I introduce them. But so we have with us Alicia Nichelle Jones. I don't know where she is, but she was on our earlier call, but she is joining the board. And we also have Diego Castro Curry. So we're just so welcome, and we're excited to have both of you. All right, our department we're gonna share some information with the rest of the board and during item F2 about some work that we're doing with our young people to try and engage them more. We're really excited. And we plan on welcoming two additional board members, hopefully for the next meeting. So we're working with the city council members to fill the remaining vacancies, and we should have a full board of 15, which is great. So I just wanna remind everyone that if you are unable to attend an oversight board meeting due to scheduling conflicts or anything else, we kindly request that you inform the department staff by noon on the date of the oversight board meeting. If you can do it ahead of time, that's great, but no later than noon. This is per our bylaws. Our goal as department staff is to be understanding of each of your additional responsibilities and scheduling conflicts, whether that be work, school, or for other reasons. So just make sure you reach out to us, because if you do remember, per our bylaws, there's a certain amount of absences that each of you can have within a 12-month period. And we want to make sure, because you are great board members, that you can stay on the board. So please help us by reaching out to us so you can have an excused absence if you if that's needed for you. And with that, my LaShonda, announcements are done.
You really quick?
Yes.
Maybe I'm sorry, I totally missed it. I want David to do the public forum announcement before you do your report.
Okay.
So that way, once you're done, we'll go right over to public comment.
Got it. So I'm already done, but next time I will make sure to provide space for that.
I'm sorry.
I can come up with some other stuff.
It didn't pass me by, but thank you.
Okay, Coach Anita, so I can go ahead with the public comment announcement. So I will now read announcement to the public. Anyone may make an oral comment, even if a written comment has previously been submitted. However, each speaker may only raise their hand once to make one oral public comment per agenda item. We will hold a public forum now. So if you'd like to speak during public forum, please raise your hand now. To comment by video conference, click on the participants button at the bottom of your screen and select the raise your hand feature. To comment by phone, you'll be prompted to raise your hand by pressing *9. And for agenda items under Oversight Board as a whole, you may use the raise my hand to express your interest in providing verbal public comment. An announcement will be made when it is time for public comment at that time. So I'll begin by reading our written public comment. Our first written public comment is by Cordell Hindler, and it goes as follows. Hello, David. I have a couple of comments for the record. Number one, on the council's agenda for Tuesday, the mayor will go through the list of the boards and commissions, and the Oversight Board is on there. Number two, the update is that my projects is coming along okay, and I will update the board in May. Sincerely, Cordell. And I do see that we have one public comment who has their hand raised. So I will go ahead and get the timer prepared. Hello, Alex, can you hear us okay?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes, so let me go ahead and prepare the timer, and then you're welcome to start when ready.
Great, thank you. Yeah, hi, my name is Alex Escalante, and I'm a family advocate working with Project Avery. We're a 22-year-old organization located in the Bay Area serving children of incarcerated parents. This is a population that is hard to identify and reach due to the shame and stigma of having a parent in prison. We bring them into our program as early as age 8 and provide 10 years of year-round support using an outdoor adventure-based therapeutic approach, giving them leadership skills, job skills, and mentoring amongst other services. There are 5 million children, one in 14 youth, who have had a parent in prison. Parental incarceration is one of the greatest childhood public health crises. Children of color are more likely to have a parent in prison. One in 9 African-American kids have a parent behind bars. One in 28 Latinx and one in 57 white children have had an incarcerated parent. Without intervention, children are at greater risk for poor life outcomes, including greater risk for entry into the criminal justice system. Although children of incarcerated parents are one of the most at-risk youth populations, there's an alarming gap in services as no government agency is responsible for their needs. These children are not supported by the child welfare system, and their needs are often overlooked and forgotten. This gap in services is perpetuating the unjust intergenerational cycle of incarceration. There's a prison on the other side of the Richmond Bridge, and without targeted services, these youth could end up right there. By including families with children and youth who are impacted by incarceration in the populations that you are prioritizing with this fund, you're taking a huge step in getting these children the support that they need and deserve. I want to sincerely thank you for the work that you are doing for the children of Richmond. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Alex. And I believe that is all for public forum.
Thank you.
Okay, we will now move on to item B, that's our consent calendar. First item on the list is approve the minutes of the Monday, February 1st, 2021 meeting of the Richmond Board for Children and Youth Oversight Board. So can I get a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the minutes. I'll second.
Okay, I see board member Alvarado's motion. I didn't see who second.
Hegstrom.
Okay, so motion, to approve by DeSalvarado and second by Carol Hegstrom. Could I get...
I vote to approve.
Can I get a roll call, David, to approve the minutes?
Yes, so I will now go ahead with roll call. And for roll call in terms of approval of items, you can either state aye or yes, no, or you can abstain your vote. So board member Alvarado?
Aye.
Aye. Board member Castro Curry?
Aye.
Aye. Board member Dandy Evans? Oh, sorry. Moving on to co-chair Anyana.
Aye.
Aye. Board member Hegstrom?
Aye.
Aye. Board member James?
Aye.
Aye. Co-chair Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Board member Lobos?
Aye.
Aye. Board member Kader?
Aye.
Aye. And board member Sequeira?
Aye.
Aye. There are 8 votes for aye, and with that, the motion to approve the minutes is approved by the Oversight Board.
Thank you, David. So now we'll be moving on to agenda item F1. Listen to status update on the outcome of the request for proposals RFP process for the fiscal year 2021 through 2024 grant cycle and discuss and approve the creation of the RFP review committee and process. So do we have a report? Of course.
We do. This PowerPoint slide, I think David or Guadalupe might be pulling those up right now. But we do have a report. Okay. So as you can see, what we're looking to do is just provide a status update. You all have been with us for quite a while. And so for maybe some of our newer board members, the department has been working really, really hard over the past year to get us to the point where we can release our RP or grant application. So we'll share kind of a little bit of the background and where we're headed. Next slide. So the department released their grant application in January, and we closed the window for receiving grant applications February 22nd. And this year was the inaugural year, and those were all submitted electronically. And we received 50 applications on February 22nd of this year, just a couple of weeks ago and last week. And we're very, very excited. And we're going to give you some more information as we go forward. Next slide. So this is the slide that we are all very, very familiar with, this path forward. How did we get here, right? The voters approved some measures to form the department. The department was formed. You all were established as an oversight board. And then we did some data collection and community needs assessment and focus groups and meeting with young people and meeting also with people that provide or do programming for young people from birth to 24. And then once we had all that information, we crafted our strategic investment plan, which kind of guided the RFP, which we released. And now we're moving forward into that next step, which is giving out money. But before we do, we need you all to help. Next slide. So in the strategic investment plan, there were six priority areas is the frame that they used. But really there's just areas of focus that kind of bubbled up from us meeting with a lot of young people and also with the people that provide programming and services to young people here in Richmond. And those major categories were there was identified need or support for behavioral health and mental health services. Priority area two was for education support and employment. Priority area three was out of school time, after school and sports and enrichment. Priority area four is youth violence prevention. Priority area five is access to basic needs. And priority area six was information guidance and case management. And so what you'll see is on the right there, we have approximately $1.5 million to award to the 50 organizations that applied. We won't be awarding all of that money to all 50, but to a select group of those 50. And you can see kind of how we have broken out that $1.5 million over these six categories. And just as a note, that is not a hard and fast number for that category. As we'll learn a little bit later, we have some categories that have far more applicants, and we have some categories that have less. And so these are just merely estimates, and based on how many people applied in an area, we might move or shift some of the money. Next slide. So what we have here is a breakdown of those 50 applications. So one of the things that we had was we had organizations that could apply as single agencies, small and emerging, and collaborative. So the single agency are organizations, we'll start with the small and emerging actually. The small and emerging category, the orange, there are for organizations who have a budget of $250,000 or less, right? And so we had seven applications of the 50 that were in that category. We had 29 that were applying solely by themselves and had a budget that was a little larger than $250,000. And we had 14 organizations that applied in collaboration or as partnerships or in a group. At least two of these organizations decided to, hey, let's partner a group together and submit our application. Next slide. So when we look at the priority areas that we just talked about, we can see where most of those applicants put their or applying for funding. So we can see that the gray area corresponds to that third gray bullet there, which is out of school time. So 18 organizations of the 50 are applying for funding to support out of school time, after school, sports, and or enrichment. We had 15 organizations that did education support or employment. And then we had 10 organizations that are doing behavioral health and mental health. Now we have this smaller subgroup or subset here up in that left quadrant as we look. We have four that applied for youth violence, two for information and guidance, and one for access to basic needs and one for information and guidance. And so you can see when we look at that breakdown of the budget, that might be an opportunity for us to shift funding based on the fact that we have fewer applicants in one category and more applicants in another category. Next slide. So what we're also want to talk about tonight is to go through what a review process could look like and what we're thinking will happen and get your approval on this. So we have approximately 50 applications to review and score. And what we're thinking about doing is composing subgroups or subcommittees to review. And we're thinking to have about 4 to 6 review groups, right? Initially, we might've had 6 full groups to kind of balance out against the number of priority areas. But we think that 4 to 6 subcommittees to review each priority area will be good. Each reader will be assigned to one group, to review and score. And we want the groups to between 3 and 5. So we want each application to get between 3 and 5 reads. And to note that the scoring information, your scores and comments will be made public. Next slide. So here is a kind of flow. It's a little complex, but here's a kind of a flow of what we think scoring will look like. So we're going to walk you through it. So that green bubble there at the top is the application, proposal or submittal. Then it, and that's the applicant. It goes down to that yellow, right, which is city staff, which includes myself and David and LaShonda and Guadalupe, right? We'll log them and save them and scan them and sort them. And we're doing that now. And then what's going to happen is once they're sorted in priority area, they'll go to a review committee, that kind of lighter shade of blue. And those of you that participate on the review committee will score and read and rank those. You'll then submit them back up to us, goes back up to yellow, right? Where we'll average those scores, we'll rank them. And then what will happen is we'll do a kind of follow-up meeting with you all to finalize those scores and rankings, right? And that's where you see that kind of orange diamond, right? And so what we'll do is we'll also be updating you simultaneously during that process. Once we met with the subcommittee that reviewed, let's say hypothetically, the out of school time, after school and sports and enrichment as an example, we will then meet with you all to finalize those ranking, and then we'll bring everything back to the full oversight board. And that will happen there where that darker kind of navy blue is, where that diamond. You all will then finalize the recommendations and finalize how much money we're going to award. And then once you do that, it will go down to that green line there where it says city council. The city council will approve your recommendation, hopefully, and we're confident they will. And then once that happens, it comes back up to city staff, as you can follow this arrow, and we'll begin drafting some contracts, and then we'll send them to the awardees or those who got the grant application for execution. And so that's kind of the flow going forward that we'll be moving towards. Next slide. We're thinking that we'll be able to move through this process in approximately 8 weeks. Again, we'll do our review. You all will review and score. Average those scores, the oversight board will then rank them, make a final recommendation to be approved by city council. Next slide. So here's some expectations for those of you that will be participating. We're going to anticipate that we'll have you'll be participating in the entire scoring and evaluation process. So that means if you're on a subcommittee, that means that you will read and score, and that you will also be assisting staff with ranking those in a meeting after you review and score to kind of finalize those rankings and finalize those scores. And then as oversight board members, you will be involved in the process of making a full recommendation to council. We're also expecting that everybody's going to read and score objectively and commit to being or participating fully in your review committee meetings and in the evaluation process. We do plan to have a brief training, maybe half an hour for those of you that participate, to go a little bit more in depth about what that process will look like, what the commitment will be, and the workload, and more expectations. Next slide. So tonight, staff is recommending that the review committee include a mix of oversight board members, some non-Richmond Department of Children and Youth staff, which may include the city manager's office, the planning department, the finance department, and some representatives from our city government alliance on race and equity team. So what might feel kind of intuitive to us is why aren't library and community services, because they work with youth and they have that experience. But the thing is that they're all eligible to apply, and a lot of them have. So we want to have people that are reviewing that don't have direct ties to those type of supports or programs, so that we get as objective a scoring process, as fair, as equal a scoring process as we can. And we're also looking to pull in some of our neighboring jurisdictions and departments of children and youth, which may include, but it's not limited to, Oakland and San Pablo and San Francisco and Alameda County overall. So again, we're thinking that we'll have a mix of some oversight board members, some city staff members, and some people who do work with children and youth and have that kind of expertise and experience, but are not connected with Richmond or Richmond organizations, again, just to promote more equity and equality across the review process. Next slide. So what we'd like for you to do tonight is basically approve this process. And what we're recommending is that a subset or a smaller grouping of six of you agree to hopefully review and score. And so that is basically what we did when we had our HTA RFP process. A subset of you or a grouping out of the whole was selected. And we propose that there be three board members that are over 24 that agree to participate, and three board members that are under 24 that agree to participate on one of these review subcommittees. What we plan to do also is to survey you after this meeting and figure out which priority areas those of you that might agree to participate and score, which priority areas would you like to score, right? And we might have you just rank them, right? Your top choice, your second choice, your third choice, your fourth choice, down to six. And so this is the proposal. Again, we're going to have a subset that includes board members, some non-departmental or non-city staff. So myself, David, LaShonda, Guadalupe, we won't be scoring the applications. We're going to keep, say, hands off and kind of administer or manage it. But we will pull staff from other departments. So a subset of you, some city staff, and some people that are outside the city. And then we'll do some follow-up to establish which areas you want to serve in more specifically. Next slide. Here's our timeline going forward. So we released the RP and got them back in January and February 22nd. Our hope is to provide the packet of applications to the review committees hopefully Monday, and try to provide 4 weeks for you all to review and score. We're hoping that no one reviews more than you will probably be reviewing between 7 and 18 applications, so you won't have to review all 50 because we'll be breaking them out. We hope to get your scores back by the beginning of April, so we send them out to the review committees on next week. We hope to get them back at the beginning of April, and then hope to get the full oversight board make a recommendation for funding to those organizations that were ranked the highest, and get the city council's approval between May and June. And then once that happens, we'll enter into agreements with the organizations selected and awarded, and then hopefully get them up and running and funded, beginning funding by July 1st and through June of next year. Next slide. So that is kind of the presentation. And so what we're hoping to do is get a motion to approve the review process from one of you. But what we also like to do is open it up and see if you have any questions or comments or feedback. If something's unclear or you want more clarity about something, we want to make some space. So with the permission of the chair, we're open to hear any feedback that you all have.
Okay, Patrick. We're gonna move on to the questions and answers, but first, can I get David? Give his announcement for public comment, because we'll be moving on to public comment after we get the questions and answers from our board.
Yes, so I will now share information on how community members may provide public comment through Zoom or by phone. So attendees who would like to speak may enlist for public comment now by using the raise my hand feature. To comment by video conference, you may click on the participants button at the bottom of your screen and select the raise your hand button. To comment by phone, you may prompt the raise your hand feature by pressing *9.
So public comment will open up right after questions and comments from the board. And I think I see Diego's board member Curry stand up.
Yes, I did have my hand up. I would like to participate on the review committee. So do I, since this is my first board meeting that I have attended, what am I supposed, like, do I just say I want to join as in I automatically join, or do I have to like pass like a motion for me to become part of this committee?
Great question. So thank you. You did exactly the right thing, right? You spoke up and expressed your interest. And so that's all you needed to do. And so what we'll do is, if there are more comments, we'll take those. But if somebody wants to express an interest to serve, either three board members under 24 or over, we want to hear that as well. We'd love to get three. If we get more than, if we have more people that want to participate than three, then what we are going to propose to do is just do a simple lottery. We'll put names in a hat, basically, in essence. And if we have four members that want to participate, we'll draw three, so that it doesn't end up where we're talking about qualifications or you have to give a speech. We're just happy that you want to participate and read. And so that's kind of what we're thinking about. There's no test or survey or interview that you need to do. You're good just by expressing. Okay.
Thank you.
I see board member Hextrom's hand.
Yeah, so I have a question. I'm a little confused. So there'll only be three, there'll be six of us from the board, but we'll each be looking at different grants to review?
So it depends. So you all will be a part of a broader group. So the proposal is this, is that six of you, maybe six or seven of city staff, and maybe an additional six or seven from outside. And it'll be a combination of department, city staff, and folks outside the city that will serve on a review committee together to review and score, and then come together kind of like ECIA to finalize those scores. So you, it won't be that just the Department of Children and Youth folks will be on one subcommittee. It'll be, you all will kind of be intermixed in or interwoven in with some other folks. And if you're choosing to serve or score a read, we'll prioritize. So we'll say, hey, where would you like to be? And we'll kind of survey everybody, department folks that are selected, outside people, city staff, and then try to rank, put people in the groups that they most prefer.
So so any particular grant might have, one grant might have different reviewers than a different grant.
Yes.
Okay. Because, all right.
We don't, so you do a great deal of work for the ECIA, but we're trying to lessen the burden of forcing right. everybody to read 50 applications. Right. So 7 to 18 for you is probably a treat.
But it's that's a lot. I know how much work it is. It's a lot.
It is. And so by kind of spreading the love, which is our goal, we're just trying to spread the love there. And so no one has this huge lift overall, which is why doing that, having you review and score and then coming together and meeting and talking about the rankings to finalize it, and having each of you kind of be on a subcommittee. So you all bring the institutional knowledge of what the department has done, all the hard work, the focus groups, the needs assessment. You all can serve kind of as almost subcommittee experts, bringing that knowledge, because we want that to be there as well.
So I'll volunteer if you need people. If you have other people that want to do it, I'll be happy to step down from volunteering.
Okay.
And I just want to add, thank you, Patrick, for the great presentation. And thank you already for the great conversation we're having. It was in the staff report, but I do want to point out that we did look at what some other jurisdictions that have Department of Children and Youth are doing. So we talked to Oakland a lot, and they have something very similar. So they really look at their different priority areas, and then they spread the love so that, you know, there's at least 3 to 5 individuals reading every single grant application and scoring. And so that no one has in, you know, to read 50, 100 or whatever, because you never know how many, we didn't know how many we were going to get. So we were already planning on this sort of structure so that no one felt really overwhelmed.
I think I see board member Cicada hand.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. So if we're divided into committees at the big meeting that we have in the end, mm-hmm. that's when if we serve on this panel, we would come and discuss it, like the reasoning why each person decided on what and score all together, right?
I feel like you all would be able to provide some information to the larger group because no one person would have read all the applications from the subcommittee of the review, the oversight board here. And so hopefully, because we're gonna try to divide you up and put you all in various places, you all will be able to speak to that context on saying, so hypothetically, out of school time, you serve on out of school time. You were there with some city staff, some out of town folks that do children and youth stuff. And you guys decided to fund 6 organizations for out of school and after school and sports enrichment. You review and score, you all meet, we're gonna have you meet and have a conversation and say, hey, do we like the rankings? Do we need to make any adjustments, right? You will go through that process of finalizing, it'll be a preliminary finding, finalizing preliminarily those rankings. And then those rankings will go to the full board, you all, for a final recommendation. And then at that meeting, you can bring some context and say, hey, we reviewed these. These were some of the best ones. There was conversation about 1, 2, and 3, X, Y, and Z, et cetera. And then I support this recommendation.
Just maybe I'm not thinking straight and I need the help. In total, how many members is there going to be on the committee?
We plan to have maybe between 3 and 5, maybe 6 folks on each subcommittee.
And then in regards, I'm just thinking, just I love the idea of having 3 and 3 youth, 3 adults, but then we all bring different lens compared to an adult to a youth. And if we're only, if you're doing 6 across other additional members, maybe that's just a suggestion. I don't know if the chair would have to, the co-chairs would have to decide. But ideally, I would like want to envision that both an adult member and a youth member are stuck together, like on each subcommittee. But if we're doing 6 subcommittees, that means we're thinning each other out by having one of each.
We could make an adjustment and do 4 over 24, 4 under 24. That's an option. The 3 and 3 was just a recommendation. We can increase that number, right? So that is.
And this is just maybe me because this is like the first time around. So I'm just trying to make sure we hear each other out.
And this is
I'll volunteer as well if we go for whatever.
Okay,
but I just want to I was just going to say, no, 6 doesn't have to be the number. That's something we were throwing out as a suggestion. If more people want to be on be a part, a reviewer, we just have to make sure that, of course, in no review, in no subcommittee, are there more than 7 individuals, because we can't have more than a quorum in each of the subcommittees, which we won't. We'll make sure that doesn't happen. And so I just want to point that out. If more folks want to provide their services, we will not turn it down. And then I just want to also state that, so, you know, if you're in a group and it's, you know, 6 of you reviewing 18 applications from the out of school time, each of you review individually. Then you give us all your scores, and then we populate them all, right? And then we'll bring the list of 18, the scores for all 18 applications back to the six of you to say, this is what they look like. This is what the ranking is just based on scores. Now let's have a conversation. So the six of you would come back together and have a conversation about what do those rankings look like? Do they feel right? Out of this, you know, how much money do you want to give out? Do you want to give out what they asked for? Do you want to give out less than what they asked for? Do you have questions? So you have all of that great conversation. And so at the end of the day, the six of you will say, we want to give out 7 grants totaling that 20%, that $300,000 or whatever. But there's still, you know, there's other folks on there, because what can happen, as Patrick stated, is that 20, 20, 20, 10, that allocation we had isn't set in stone, and it's going to fluctuate a little bit. So what we will do once all of the subcommittees finish their scoring and recommendations, we'll take all of that and we'll put it all together, because what we're going to provide to the full board as a package is 1.5, you know, approximately 1.5 million in recommendations. So you're going to give us a listing. Each subcommittee will give a listing, and then we'll make it work and say, based on the numbers here, the numbers there, we're going to provide back to the full board, the 1.5, and then that's where the full board will have a conversation. Each of you can bring your own perspectives based on the subcommittee you were looking at, or if you have a question about someone else's, we have a great conversation there, and then we'll bring the full thing to the city council.
Yeah. Board Member Lobos.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that I would really love to be part of this process. I would be excited about it. I feel after seeing the presentation that I'm gonna step aside and not be on any of the subcommittees. And that is because I have a close family member that founded a nonprofit that applied. And I realized I don't even have any idea what category you put that nonprofit in. So I just feel like I feel more comfortable just not being part of the process. And I can talk to staff outside of this meeting about any concerns I have about that moving forward. But I just wanted full disclosure that and I'm kind of sad about it. It's not because my heart's not in it. Believe me, it'd be fun to be part of it, but I'm going to step aside.
No, and we appreciate that. And I'll just tell you this as a note. For those that end up serving on subcommittees, that would be a conversation. As far as we would have a training, that discussion would happen as well. When we send out more information, one of the things will be, fancy word is disclosure, but it will be just you expressing, have you volunteered for any organization that's on this list? Have you donated to any organization that's on this list? Have you participated in programming, or your child or your spouse or significant other supported, right? We need to know that, because it's a public process, we got to make sure that everything is above board. And that we want to make sure that everybody feels like they had a fair shot, right? And this is a part of staff's goal of making sure that the process happens properly, which is why we're not scoring, right? We're keeping ourselves out of the scoring process so that we can be impartial and really leaving it up to. So I appreciate the honesty, but that thinking of potential conflicts, even if they don't exist, but being aware of them is something that those who will serve, we will be having that conversation. So be thinking about that now too, Jeff, but I'm happy you brought that up. So if there are any more questions, we could take them, but I don't know if, Member Hextra.
Can I make a quick comment? Yeah. I think, wouldn't it be okay if Kristen just recused herself from the one grant and was able to review other ones, grant proposal?
That is definitely possible. She knew what the organization was.
She does.
She could share that with us, and then we would make sure she wasn't in the review committee with that application in it.
So I think she could be a reviewer then. I think you could do it.
Yes. Just not
on the one that you're in favor of.
Okay, so it's all right for me to tell you and to. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
All right. If we can do it in a good, equitable way that's up and up and feels fine, then okay, great.
Okay. So yeah. I'm just going to make a note real quick, LaShonda. So I have
no problem.
Board member Stephanie, board member Carol, board member Kristen have all expressed interest. That's how I'm going to frame it just for
And
now.
Board member Diego.
And my, I have board member Diego for our under 24. So I don't want to take too much time just because I appreciate Coach Aaron Yana trying to be considerate of our public, our attendees as well. So, oh, are there more questions? Board member Giselle.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment that I'd also be interested in serving as a subcommittee member.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Co-chair?
Do we have any?
Oh, you muted yourself.
Comments, I'm sorry, comments or questions? We'll move on to public comment and then we'll come back to this item shortly.
Okay, I do see we have one public comment from Cordell Handler, so let me prepare this. Hi, Cordell, can you hear us okay? Can you hear us okay, Cordell? You are unmuted. Can you hear us, Cordell?
Can you let them know how they're to unmute themselves over the phone?
Yes. So if you're over the phone, you can press *9. I do see right now their microphone is on, but I don't believe we're able to hear them.
Okay, I think we're having audio problems, but we'll move forward with this, and then we can always come back to public comment after we vote on this. Do I have a motion on the table, or is it, first of all, is there any more discussion that needs to happen around this item from any board members? Okay, so do we have a motion to approve and the recommendations by staff on the RFP process?
I'd like to set forward a motion.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve by board member Curry and a second, I don't have a name, by board
James.
Member
James.
James. So could I get a roll call vote on this?
Yes. So I will now begin roll call. And this is for the approval of the creation of the RFP review committee and process. Board member Alvarado?
Aye.
Aye. Board member Castro Curry?
Yay.
Aye. Coach Arniana?
Aye.
Aye. Board member Hextrom?
Aye.
Aye. Board member James?
Aye.
Aye. Co-chair Johnson? Co-chair Johnson? Okay, I'll keep going. Board member Lobos?
Aye.
Aye. Board member Kader?
Aye.
Aye. And board member Sequeira?
Aye.
Aye. And I'll go one more time for co-chair Johnson. Okay, so with that, we have 8 in favor, which means the motion's approved and it passes.
Thank you, David. And could we try
I'm sorry, co-chair. Go ahead. Okay. I just wanted to read, just for the record, those who will be participating in the subcommittee. Board Member Hegstrom, Board Member Cicada, Board Member Lobos, Board Member Castro Curry, and Board Member Alvarado will all be participating in the subcommittee review. So we thank you all for your service, and we look forward to getting you some information. I want to also say that we will make the applications available to the entire board. So even if you're not on a subcommittee, you are welcome to review, provide us feedback, and share any thoughts and ideas as you would like to. So just want to let you know that everybody will be sent. We'll make available the entire application pool, and you're welcome to look at and provide comment as you wish.
Thank you, Patrick, for that. And can we try once again for our public?
Yes, so let me try it. Go ahead and... Hi, Cordell, can you hear us okay? You are now unmuted. So it looks like we're still unable to hear Cordell, but we can also follow up to get any information that he would like to share as well. I'll also briefly add that our new, one of our new board members, Board Member Alicia Jones, has been on the call, but I am trying to work with her for technical difficulties, but she can hear and is currently present the attendees with her phone number.
Thank you, David. So we'll move on to item F2. That's the discuss and consider opportunities for the Oversight Board participation, youth engagement, and the development of the 2021 Oversight Board goals. And we'll share any ideas and recommendations and feedback. So do we have any reports or recommendations on this?
Hi, I guess I'll follow along with the slides. So I'm here presenting on the item again today, just as an expansion of the discussion that we began last week. We have two new board members that that joined. This is our first meeting, so we want to make sure that whatever plans or work plans, trainings, opportunities that we have, we consider them as well. So again, a continuation of the conversation we had last week. So we can continue on to the next slide. Yeah, so we, as we mentioned, our goals for you all this year, revolve around these three, which is increasing oversight board participation, increasing our youth engagement, and developing our 2021 board goals. Obviously, this is the first year that we have the grant cycle happening, so we want to make sure that we keep a lot of those milestones in mind. Next slide. So this is a summary that I made from the suggestions and ideas from the last meeting. This is what I got from both oversight board members, and there was a few from public comment or suggestions that were given after. But the first one was a pre-meeting for youth board members, which we actually just did right before this meeting. I think it was a really great first meeting. We'll continue to work on that. There's also mention of a collaborative team framework. So my understanding is that we want to have the work, have a lot more discussions, have that framework where instead of it's being like a single individual thing, that we can figure out ways for each youth and adult board member to be more involved with each other. Suggestions that we've had since last year has been creating a retreat for you all. Again, I think it's something that we are trying to figure out and navigate, as this pandemic goes on, we're trying to figure out a good way to have that happen. A public comment that was made last month was to do pairings with youth board members or youth and adults. That included something that kind of dives into the relationship building activities, or a suggestion to do interviews. So where, I guess it's more of an icebreaker where people, ask questions about each other and get some fun facts, just as a way for people to get to know each other. And then as also as a result from the many suggestions that we'd made, I did send out a survey last week. We have until the 12th of March to fill that out, but anything that was suggested last month and also on the slide deck is included on there, and you're welcome to add any more suggestions, any more ideas. There's an open area for you to put in whatever you want. And also there was a suggestion to do a post-meeting survey. Obviously there is a lot of talking that goes on. A lot of comments are made. Sometimes conversations kind of, I would say digress or, you know, go on a different path. So we are looking into creating a post-meeting survey that would follow the adjournment of a meeting. And that would be something that would take about a minute or two for you to fill out if you had any remaining questions or comments. Yeah, just a quick overview of what we mentioned last meeting. So next slide. Yeah, so as I mentioned, we sent out a survey last week. It looks like this. I can also put it in the chat if you guys would like. But basically, same thing as I mentioned, there are suggestions for trainings, resources, opportunities for you to all fill out. There are some questions that are specific for youth board members as well. If there's anything there that we staff can do to make the time that you spend with us, you know, help you grow as a person, whether that's in your career or your academic, you know, pathway, whatever you choose. So we have it open until the 12th. And if you have any questions or comments before then or anything revolving it, feel free to reach out. Next slide. And as a refresher, we mentioned some of the suggestions that we can include on this are different types of trainings. We've mentioned public speaking a lot. That's something that sounds like we'll definitely be including. Youth adult power dynamics, social media and communications, government 101, that being kind of, I would say, a crash course on what we do here at the City of Richmond, bias trainings, that sort of thing, more team building exercises, so something that we can do more collaboratively with each other, creating group agreements, retreats, field trips, crash course videos that Patrick created. I think we can send out those links, but it might be helpful to have videos for y'all explaining, you know, concepts like the meeting agendas, the meeting minutes, you know, what the process looks like. I think the process chart that Patrick created actually earlier is actually a really good way of explaining things like that. So if that's something you would all like to see more often, please let us know. And also personal goal setting. If we can build your capacity in any way individually, you know, if maybe we need to include more accountability metrics, that's something we can include as well. And also volunteer and service projects. Maybe is there something we can do as a group to, you know, put the name of the oversight board out there. We're happy to work on that with you as well. Next slide. Yeah, and specifically for youth engagement, same thing, we can do youth-specific trainings and opportunities. We can do more leadership stuff if you would like to do more partnerships with the adult board members of this group as well. Conflict resolution. If you want more specific youth activities, I think, as I mentioned in the pre-meeting, if there's something there that you would like to do or continue to have that space for you all where it's just youth and you can be more open to ask questions or suggest things as well, we're welcome, open to that as well. Same thing for job and school. If you're more interested in having an internship with us or anywhere at the City of Richmond or even with one of our nonprofit partners or community-based organizations. And last year, we also looked into providing academic credits for being on the oversight board. We can still continue to look into that. I did speak with someone at Contra Costa last year, and he mentioned it was possible to do that. So if that's all something you would like to do and have it, you know, get you started on your college career or, you know, get something out of the way before you even finish high school or while you're in college, we're happy to get that started. And also elevated roles as well. That's something we can do. I believe one person has filled out the survey already, and they mentioned that they would like to be the communications person for this board. So again, if we could do something and create a space and a role for you all, we're welcome to do that. Next slide. And lastly, developing the 2021 Oversight Board goals. So as I mentioned, this is the first year that we have the grant. We, you know, just finished closing the grant cycle. We got 50 plus applications. We're about to start reviewing them and scoring them. So, you know, maybe we can start thinking about what kinds of milestones we want to start developing. What are things that we want to look out for? And in that too, is there any, maybe there's something that you would like to see staff do or the City of Richmond do in order to make this process easier or more easier to understand? We had a great conversation just for the last agenda item about having the subset of oversight board members review and score. We brought up great points that we weren't thinking about previously. And also meeting topics, you know, maybe there's a community-based organization that we want to come here, maybe someone from the City of Richmond to explain processes or procedures. We're also open to have that to schedule throughout the year as well. Next slide. Yeah, so I would say this is more of a time right now to discuss and to continue to suggest ideas like that. So if anyone has any questions or comments, suggestions.
Okay, so we will now open it up for discussion. Immediately after discussion, we will open it up to public comments. So David, do you want to give our notice on how they can give out public comment after the discussion?
Yes. So I'll now share information on how community members may provide public comment through Zoom or by phone. So attendees who would like to speak may list for public comment by using the raise my hand feature. And if you'd like to share a public comment, you can use that feature now. So to comment by video conference, you may click on the participants button at the bottom of your screen and select the raise your hand button. And to comment by phone, you may prompt the raise your hand feature by pressing *9.
Thank you, David. So now we will open it up to questions or answers from our board members.
And I see Diego has a question.
Yes, how can I find this the Google Forms doc for this survey that we're having?
Yeah, so it was sent out in an email last week, but I also put it in the chat if anyone would like to that as well. So, okay. And fill it out whenever you would like. And also, I forgot to mention, it is anonymous. If you would like to, you are welcome to put your name down, but if there's any suggestions or anything in particular you would like to suggest but not put your name down, we're also welcome to that as well.
Thank you.
Did anyone maybe would like to agree on some of the suggestions that were provided last month? I would maybe ask the youth board members if you felt that the pre-meeting we had earlier today was something that you would like to continue to see.
I like the pre-meeting. I think it was great for informing, at least giving us like an introduction to what's going to be talked about during the actual board meeting. So I think it was great. I think it would be great if we could continue to do those.
Thank you. And I know Board Member Cicada mentioned earlier a suggestion on pairing a youth and adult on different priority areas for the review committee. Is that something you would consider to be kind of a collaborative team framework there?
I would. Yeah. I feel like we need to I think we as parents or adults tend to speak for them and not really listen to them. So whatever I may see as a need is very different than what they see as a need. Okay.
Thank you. And then maybe this is something for you all, and again, it's in the works, but what would you like to see in a retreat? Like, let's say if we had it next month, at this point, it seems obviously it would be virtual, but what would be something that you would like to see come out of that?
You were my cutout.
So we've been mentioning having a oversight board retreat, and say we were to have it next month, what would be something the board would like to see included? What would you like to see come out of it?
This might not go along the lines of a board. Of a board oversight board retreat, but I'm starting to see this a lot. My school does this, and Contra Costa speaking of doing it, that we go back in person, since this is my first meeting, I've never actually seen anybody in this room in person, and I feel like it'll get a better opportunity for everybody to be able to see each other, as in do our work in person, and like we still will have safety precautions, like wearing masks, socially distance, we'll put like plexiglass barriers on our desks, and I know it might be a wish of mine, but a lot of people are starting to do it. We know more about COVID-19 than we did like nearly a year ago. So this is probably...
board member, okay, I think you cut off your mic. You muted yourself if you weren't done.
My mic cut out.
Just at the
is that correct?
Just at the last 5 seconds.
Okay, it's just, again, what I said, just for the possibility of the oversight board coming back in person, we just, with procedure precautions, such as my cutout, and washing hands, being careful of what we touch, a lot of people are starting to do it. Contra Costa is considering doing it for its school districts, and vaccines in Contra Costa we're doing exceptionally well with vaccinating the population. So I believe it might be a possibility for us. If we vaccinated or not, we can start to meet.
Thank you. I did write down your recommendation, though. Board Member Cicada?
In regards to the retreat, I know there's like new youth. I'm not sure if we have new adults, but I know last year we got the training on board of just like the Brown Act or whatever act we're using here. So many acts. But if we can do like a rerun of all of that, there's not much we can really do virtually. But I feel like just to re-engage our youth or re-engage our members to understand the purpose of this meeting, maybe. And then since we're going to start looking at how to vote or how to read these proposals, how do we maybe just touch up on that for the members that have not been through this process beforehand? Knowing that, again, like last time around, I think Pat had to reiterate so many times, don't come in with the biased lens or like whatever you had experienced previously is very different than you're reading through the documents at the moment. So just to touch up on all those bases, I think.
So like a refresher course. Basically, yeah. Okay, thank you. I'll write that down.
Well, I want to also second what Board Member Curry said. I think, you know, if that's even a possibility where, and I know due to the Brown Act, we're looking at a bigger retreat for all of the board, you know, but maybe breaking it down to where, you know, we're under Brown Act, you know, coming together and, you know, maybe getting some of the youth board members together and, you know, the ones that feel comfortable and of course staff and following. And I think that would be, you know, the same thing with our adult board members, maybe bringing us together. I think, you know, and, you know, well, better in space, even outdoors. I mean, the days are getting better. So, you know, something that we can do where we can have, you know, maybe not all board members, but even if we have to break it down in groups and then, you know, smaller groups, so that we're still interacting, I think, with each other, but still being able to, like, you know, congregate and see. I think, you know, we get more, you know, I'm a people person, so that means, you know, I really thrive off of seeing people in person and being able to communicate with them, you know, face to face. And, you know, I think, you know, that'll also build on the work that we're doing, the collaboration that we're doing. So, you know, maybe, you know, figuring out how we can do certain things in smaller groups and still make it, you know, to where we, you know, aren't so much focused on the bigger, you know, the bigger meeting we're trying to have with all board members, but just, you know, maybe start off a little bit smaller with those willing to, you know, meet up.
I would also like to add more to what board member Ilana said about going back in person. Like, I know I said this before, but as what she said, I noticed this among my peers at schools, that we tend to do better when we're in person. We get to, like, socialize, we get to have fun as like high schoolers, instead of just acting like sort of like a zombie while looking at a computer screen. I believe it's a good idea, and I also like to share that we probably might get to have everybody in this chat, and even the additional board members that are absent, into the same room, because I believe in my school, I go to a private school, it's like the most people are in a room is like 11 or 12, and since we have 13 people plus staff, I believe that we keep socially distancing. I believe that we can successfully get back to coming in person. And I would also like to add that I know the system that my school uses is pretty effective. In December, when there was a COVID spike, there was this one student got COVID-19, and due to restrictions, we were able to contain the spread. Nobody got it, and the person actually got it from some family members, and we actually are, and he's all better now. So I believe that due to the fall of COVID cases and the vaccine and new safety measures that we discovered with over months of having COVID-19, we probably might be successfully to have an in-person meeting.
Thank you. I think we'll probably relay this with city staff and probably let you know how we can plan it out. Board Member Cicada, did you have another follow-up comment? So were any other suggestions or comments? If not, then we can hopefully have everyone fill out the survey, and then we can probably bring it back to the oversight board at some point with the schedule for the work plan for the upcoming year, or for the rest of the year.
Thank you. Thank you, staff, for the feedback. Also, David, can we now move on to public comment?
Yes, so similar to F1, there was no written public comment for this, but I do see that one has their hand raised. They previously had it raised, and then it was unraised and raised. So Cordell, you should be able to speak right now. Can you hear us okay, or can you speak? Just in case, let me try muting and then ask to unmute. Okay, can you hear us okay, Corda? So it looks like we're still unable to hear Cordell, but we're happy to follow up with him to get any information you'd like to share with the Oversight Board.
Okay, thank you, David. So do we have any additional comments or discussion on this item from any board members? Okay, well, so this is our last agenda item. So I am to now say, unless staff has anything else that they additionally want to close out with. No, going once, going twice. LaShonda?
I was just going to say thank you all, but we will be in contact with those of you who signed up to be, just a reminder for those of you who signed up to be on the subcommittee to review and score. Thank you, and we will be in contact with you very soon. And please don't forget to fill out the survey.
Okay, so I will now at 7:20 p.m. close out the March 1st of 2021 Children and Youth Oversight Board meeting for the City of Richmond. I want to thank everyone for coming, for taking time. I want to give a round of applause to our two new board members. Yes. Thank you. It was great having you guys on board. It was great to, you know, have you guys participating. I hope to, you know, be able to continue working together with you guys and someday in, you know, short time, be able to meet up and, like I said, continue the great work. So thank you. I'm looking forward to staff coming back with some additional new board members. I love to see new faces. So we'll be looking forward to that on our next meeting. But, you know, thank you guys all for taking this time out this evening to be present. Thank you to our attendees as well, to those who gave our, you know, public comment. So now this closes out. So thank you very much, and everyone have a great night. Thank you, staff, for always those great presentations and, you know, just keeping us on track and, you know, holding us down as much as we need to. So thank you, all staff. And this ends our board meeting for March 1st. Right. Good night.